So we have been in this series on the book of Proverbs now for, this is the ninth week. And the book of Proverbs is all about wisdom. And wisdom, you could just define as the art of living well. And so we're spending a majority of this study looking at themes in the book that all have to do with what it means to just live well. Things like hard work and generosity and humility, the things that together compose a well-lived life. And today, we're going to think about speaking. The way that we use our mouths, the way we speak to other people, and the way that we listen to other people. And I want to start off with a quote from one of the 20th century's great philosophers, a man named Steve Martin, who famously said, "Some people have a way with words, other people know halfway." That cracks me up. First time I heard that, I had the giggles for like 20 minutes. Because it's so elegant. It's so elegant. That is obviously said by someone who has a way with words. Here's my fundamental premise for the morning. Words matter. Words matter. This is a conviction that underpins all three of the wisdom books, Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes deals some with the way that we speak to other people. It's not a huge theme, but it's there. And then except for the first two chapters of Job and the last chapter of Job, the rest of the book of Job is almost entirely about the way that we speak. You're speaking too much, you're saying the wrong things, you should have said this, you didn't say that. It is a major theme in the book of Job. And it's a big concern in Proverbs. If you just read through Proverbs 10 to 31, which is, how many chapters is that? 22 chapters. If you just read through 10 through 31 and you flag every time the word mouth, lips, tongue, speak, speech, or word appears, you'll have 127 flags. That means that, a handful of those are about eating rather than speaking, but for every one that's about eating, you have a proverb that's about talking and doesn't use one of those words. There are about 800 proverbs in the book. 127 of them use those words. That means you're looking at about one in every six proverbs has to do with speaking. That's a huge number of proverbs. This is a major theme. And why do words matter? And what evidence have you seen that words matter?
It can be very hurtful.
Okay, words can be really hurtful. Yeah.
Or very uplifting.
Or they can be very uplifting.
Yeah, depends on how you use them. The comedian on the ship said, she's from the South, you can use bless your heart two ways.
Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. What is this proverb getting at? What does this mean?
You can build up, you can tear down, and either way, you're going to get fruit from how you say whatever you say. You're going to get hurt from somebody, or you're going to build up somebody.
Okay. Can you think of an example of a time where you have seen or experienced words bring life? Can you give an example from your own life? Do you care to share? Or is it just I'm realizing now that was a closed-ended question.
I was in a very, very, very bad place one time. And I was going to go ahead and just take my life. And I heard Jesus say, put it down. You can beat it. It's not going to beat you. Those words kept me alive.
Quite literally. Any other examples that spring right to mind?
Almost every card I get from James will make me cry because it's words that you usually don't feel about yourself. It's things that he sees. Mm. And it's always built in me.
Some people have a way with words.
Yes.
Other people know have way.
So much,
yeah.
But
the words you say to a child make a lot of difference.
Oh, yeah.
If you discipline or encouragement, you can decide the path that
you. Yeah, I think about Kenzie. Mm-hmm. The words that I say to Kenzie are life and death for her. It is uncanny how much power my words have in her life. Caffrey doesn't know that I can talk. Like, except he knows when I'm counting to three. Then he knows.
Has he learned to count beyond three?
He's learned that the integers are 1, 2, 2.5. And then sometimes 2 3/4, because we see a little bit of progress. We're going to throw you a bone. Okay. What about a time where you've seen words bring death? Words matter.
Yeah, they do.
So, even just in this verse, Proverbs begins to develop what I think is an important metaphor, and it's not a main metaphor in Proverbs. So I may be making a mountain out of a molehill here, but I think that I'm onto something. That words are food. Words are food. And when you speak, you are feeding other people. And when you listen, you are eating what they have to say. Does that make sense? Words are food. So, a few examples of this. Proverbs 25:11. Just examples of how Proverbs develops the metaphor. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. And every time I read this verse, I think about my Hebrew professor. This was like his favorite proverb of all. And he would always say it in a really wooden translation. In Hebrew, what it says is, apples of gold in a setting of silver, a word fitly spoken. There's no verb in it. It's just images put together. I love that. But apples, a word is like an apple. In 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many. But fools die for lack of sense. So righteous people are going to feed other people with their lips because they speak what's right and helpful and useful and good and true. But the fool starves to death. Why? Because they don't listen to the good things that the righteous person is saying. Yeah. In 16:24, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Gracious words are like a honeycomb. Is honey good or not good? Okay. It's tasty and it's sweet. And our culture is over-sugared. I think we would probably all agree with that. And so we probably need to pump the brakes on our honey consumption, among other things. But in, excuse me, in ancient Israelite culture, honey is a delicacy. It's not on every supermarket shelf. Nobody in the ancient world needs to cut back on their honey consumption. Gracious words are a positive and enjoyable thing. And then one more in 18:8, the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. What is this talking about? Is this about everything that Faye Ann's going to have to say this morning because of her, is it laryngitis? Yeah. No. What is this about? It's about gossip. Right, it's about gossip. This is someone saying, you didn't hear this from me, but these words are delicious. We like to listen to them. They are lip-smacking little bits that sink down into our inner being. Words are food. And again, this is not a main metaphor in the 127 times that Proverbs talks about our speaking. But it is there. And so I want to run with this today. If words are food, then they can either nourish or they can poison. They can be nutritious and good for us and good for others, or they can be junk food. And so the most obvious question to ask is, what are you feeding others? What are you feeding other people? What kinds of words would be good to feed other people? What kinds of things are good to say to people that are actually going to be nutritious for them?
Encouraging words.
Encouraging words?
Kindness.
Kindness?
Truth.
Truth? Who said truth? Gina?
Words said with love.
Words said with love?
I would go as far as to say correction can even be a
word. Correction and words said with love. Those two are different from what everybody else said. We heard encouragement and kindness, but then we also hear words spoken in love, which kind of suggests that you're saying something the other person doesn't want to hear, right?
We speak life, and there you go.
There you go. So here's a few themes. This is not comprehensive, but we don't have time to be comprehensive this morning. So let me share three things that Proverbs would point us to. One is truth. You nailed it. Truth. Whenever Proverbs encourages us to be honest and praises truth and tells us to be forthright, it's telling us to be the kinds of people who feed truth to other people. So, for example, whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips. Ooh. This is just one example, and we could come up with many others about honesty. And I don't imagine that I need to sit here and teach you about the rightness of honesty. Another thing that Proverbs commends is to speak wisdom to other people. This is probably the second most common thing that it tells us. Proverbs encourages us to feed wisdom to other people. Now, there are a few times where Proverbs actually encourages us not to waste our breath trying to give advice to people who just aren't going to listen. And I think Jesus says something similar when he says not to throw your pearls before pigs. There are people who are not going to listen. But wisdom is still a good thing to pass along. It's not something to be hoarded. Wisdom is like trust, in that the more you use it, the more you share it, the more it multiplies. So Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. How can we feed wisdom to other people? Not all at once.
Sharing our experiences.
Sharing your own experience. Yeah. being an example?
Or go to the Word.
Sorry?
Go to the Word.
Go to the Word. I don't have any answers written down. I'm just hoping you'll will do the hard work.
Maybe providing guidance.
Providing guidance. That's kind of what I'm leaning toward. Although it's kind of, I don't know, maybe this is just me and this is getting off topic, but anytime I give guidance to someone or give them my advice, there's a kind of letting go that I have to do. Because I'm trying to think of a good example of this. If I tell one of my kids, I think it's going to go better for you if you do such and such. At that point, I have to kind of let go and let them fail. They either take my advice or I think they're going to flop, right? Now, as a parent, maybe there's more and I should get involved and know Caffrey put the sword down, like that kind of thing. But yeah, wisdom, when you share wisdom, you kind of have to give up control. Anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. The third thing, and a couple of you are hinting at this, is rebuke. This is much less warm and fuzzy, but Proverbs would definitely agree that a good thing to feed other people is rebuke. So one example, strike a scoffer, and the simple will learn prudence. Reprove a man of understanding, and he will gain knowledge. How many of us enjoy rebuking other people? Put your hand down. Okay, so humor aside, does anybody enjoy having to get in somebody else's face and tell them that they're wrong? Probably not. I think there are people who do that, who do enjoy that. And they have no friends. Because nobody wants to be around someone who's always in your face. But rebuke is considered a good thing to give other people. Why? Telling someone that they did something wrong. Sorry?
Doesn't it show love?
It does show love. What it shows is I care enough about you that I'm not going to let you blindly continue in something that I know is destructive for you. Or it could be, I believe that you have illegally annexed my neighborhood and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Okay, so if these are some good things to feed people, let me ask the flip side. What are things that are not good to feed people? I'm not asking for anything crazy.
Like condescending forms of correction?
Condescending forms of correction. She's talking about something like mansplaining. Let me tell you what mansplaining is. What are some kinds of words that are not good to feed people?
Hateful words.
Hateful words?
You're never going to
say anything. What would we call that? Insulting? Or?
Degrading?
I like demeaning. Let's stick with demeaning.
Gossip, slander?
All right. I think we're on the right track here. This shouldn't be a big surprise. If truth is a good thing to feed people, what do you suppose is a bad thing to feed people?
Lies.
And of course, Proverbs is going to say, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. We could come up with many more examples in Proverbs telling us to be honest and not to lie. And included here would be lies of omission, distorting the truth, misrepresenting the truth. And so maybe a better word than lies would be the word deceit. Because you can tell the truth and still deceive, can't you? But Proverbs does not pat you on the back in those instances. So if one good thing to feed people is wisdom, what would be a bad thing to feed people? This one is a trick question. Because usually the opposite of wisdom would be folly. But the way that Proverbs tends to talk about this is perversity. Perverseness. In 10:32, the lips of the righteous know it's acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. How would you define perverse? Evil?
Evil's the first thing that comes to mind.
Ungodly?
Worldly. I don't have a good definition here. Again, I'm hoping y'all will do the hard work.
I think of the word crooked.
Crooked. I think of the word slimy. Something dirty isn't a wet enough word. I don't know.
Definition, would you like it?
Please do.
Showing a deliberate and obstinate desire to behave in a way that is unreasonable or unacceptable, often in spite of the consequences.
I was going to say it's the polar opposite of the first.
Yeah.
I have a definition as well that's from the Bible kind of thing. It says, keep your mouth free from perversity is a call to not speak with crooked words. That is, deceitfully. We need to be honest with what we say and not have hidden agendas. But just in case, keep corrupt talk far from your lips.
So it's like a form of manipulation.
Yeah.
A form of manipulation. Yeah. So all of these are good. I think we're all kind of hitting on the same basic field of meaning. And then one more. If rebuke is a good thing to feed people, what would be a bad thing to feed people?
Flattery.
Nailed it. Flattery. Proverbs 29:5. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. I tell you, I used to think that this was commending flattery. Because the image that came to mind for me was a tightrope walker, like at the circus, who needs a net under them. And someone who flatters other people is preparing a place for them to land if something goes wrong. Like the parable of the unjust steward who goes around using money to make friends so that when he loses his job, he'll have somewhere to go. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. The thing is, in Proverbs, that's never how net is used. A net in Proverbs is always a hunting trap. It's a snare. The person who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet, which now raises the question, who is his? Spreads a net for whose feet? For the one he's flattering. Right? He's setting him up for a fall. Or it could also be he spreads a net for his own feet because he's the one who's going to be tripped up because he's going to be exposed as having just flattered and not being authentic. And so I see how that could go either way, and I'm still reeling from the fact that it's not the tightrope thing. And so I'll just leave that with you, and you guys can figure that out for yourselves. Proverbs wants us to think about what we're feeding others. It also wants us to think about what we're consuming. In light of what we saw is good and not good to say, what do you expect Proverbs is going to warn us we should eat? That is, listen to.
Truth.
Truth.
Wisdom.
And? Rebuke. Correction. Man, y'all are sharp. Okay, we're not going to talk about all three of those, but I'm going to talk about two of them. One of them, the first is wisdom. In 13:10, by insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom. Do you know somebody who refuses to take advice? Because they always think they know best. James, you got a smile on your face. You got a face in mind, don't you?
It's probably me.
Oh, it's probably you.
ask Carly when she gets here.
Okay. can we do? You don't have to share names, but can you think of the face of somebody who refuses to take advice? And what is your opinion of that person? You enjoy being around that person? Particularly, for the most part, I'm getting head shakes, not head nods. Are they someone that you wish you could be like? No. Along the same lines, a second thing we should listen to is rebuke. And I got two verses here. 17:10, a rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. You go to a wise person and rebuke them, and they're going to say, oh, thank you for that correction. I am now wiser. You go to a fool, they're not going to listen to you, and you like beat them. You can beat them 100 times, and they're not going to listen. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. Are these easy or hard for you to hear? Is there some part of you that's like, yes? Because you're fantasizing about 100 blows into somebody like, whack! All right. In light of what we saw is good and not good to say, what do you expect Proverbs is going to warn us not to listen to, not to eat?
Flattery.
Flattery? I don't actually know of anywhere that warns us against listening to deception. Because if you knew it was deception, you probably wouldn't listen to it anyway. But it does warn against flattery, and the first one we'll talk about is gossip. 16:28, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. The whisperer, again, is Proverbs' way of talking about gossip. Is gossip information that is true or information that's not true? Could be either one, but that's not the point. The point of gossip, when it happens, is not to spread truth, and it's not to spread misinformation. What is the point of gossip?
Spread hurt.
To spread hurt. Over here, someone said?
I said spread harm.
To spread harm. One thing that stuck with me that I think I just heard from Proverbs, it's got to be in the NIV because I don't think the ESV uses the word blabbermouth. That sounds like an NIV thing. But Proverbs warns us not to confide in someone who gossips. If somebody comes to you and they're like, I got to tell you what so-and-so said, what someone said here. Don't tell that person your secrets. Because if they do it to you, they'll do it to other people. Right? Because it's not that you are their confidant, it's that they are a whisperer. It doesn't mean you can't love them, doesn't mean you can't be friends with them, just means you need to have like good boundaries in what you choose to share. Okay. And then flattery. Flattery. In 28:23, whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. It's much easier for me to imagine saying, boy, what you said at the time was really hard to hear, but I'm sure glad you said it. It's much easier to imagine that than to imagine saying, what you said at the time made me feel really good. But, man, I'm just so thankful that it wasn't true. I can't, what does being thankful for being flattered even sound like? Okay, we are low on time. So let me ask this, and this is probably the most important question of the whole morning, whole class. How can we become better talkers?
By being better listeners.
Yes.
Being better listeners. All right, getting ahead of me there. Like, oh, just talk less?
Think about what you were saying before you say it. Thank you for your speech. Is this going to be productive or productive? Is this the right time to say something?
Yeah, and, you know, Proverbs is much more interested in what we say than in what we write. Because not everybody knows how to write. And you certainly don't have something like social media or mass production of literature. But if Proverbs were written today, I think it would absolutely include the similar kinds of advice about being slow to speak, slow to post, and slow to become angry.
Think before we speak.
Think before we speak.
Praying for wisdom before we speak.
Praying for wisdom. That should probably be a good habit of ours, to constantly be praying for wisdom.
I think watching what we consume too can make you better talk. Because like you were talking about words feed others, it just made me think of the saying that everybody says, you know, take my words with a grain of salt.
It makes me think of, you can tell the difference between kids who read a lot and the kids who don't enjoy reading just based on their vocabulary. The things that they're putting in changes what comes out. And anyway.
I think you always, you must also ask yourself before you say, what are your intentions? And will this do harm? Will this do good?
Yep.
Another thing growing up was, is it true? Maybe. Is it kind? Is it necessary?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is all well and good when it's something that we're like premeditating. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go and I got to have this conversation with so-and-so. And what am I going to say to them? But in the course of normal conversation, you're going to be talking with your friends after class and before worship, right? And we're just milling about and you're not sitting there thinking about, should I say this? Should I not say this? You're just having a conversation, right? It's like real time. The speed of life. And how can we become better talkers in that sense?
Give less opinions.
Less opinions. This person does not need to know what I think about this.
As somebody else I know says, ask God to put his arm around your shoulder and hand over his mouth.
Yes. Oh, yeah?
He did that to me the other day.
Shh.
Seconds ahead, think 10 seconds, you know, think your actions, but also you need to be doing that all the time.
I think it comes back to what you take in. Like, if you're constantly taking in nothing but negativity and anger and things like that, it tends to come out whether you want it to or not.
Yeah. Anger, I think, is the most contagious emotion, by the way. That's one that we really have to be careful about. So let me give three morsels of advice. And it's not me. This is Proverbs, things that Proverbs would tell us about how we can master the art of living by mastering the art of speaking. Not comprehensive, but three just in the few minutes we have left. First of all, slow down and don't speak until you're ready. Many of you have already alluded to that. Do any of us have trouble with slowing down, or do we tend to spout off before we have four and spout? I should not have said that. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. The point is to be in control of your mouth rather than your mouth being in control of you. And a simple way to start doing that is to learn to pause and to slow down. Because it's easy to get caught up in a conversation in the foyer or at work or whatever, and it's just chugging along. And if you sense that it's going in a certain direction, one simple thing to do is just to slow the pace of your speech. Buying yourself time to ponder how to answer. Second, speak less in general, Steve. I say that because Steve's the one who brought it up. The average person, none of us in here, but the average person could stand to speak less overall. When I drive past my lawn and everybody's got weeds in it, or it's full of weeds, I worry that everybody on the block drives past my lawn and they're like, when is Bullard going to get it together? When is he going to mow? But the reality, I know if I pause long enough to think about it, is that when they pull onto the block, they're not looking at my lawn. Which lawn are they looking at? Their own. And they're thinking, I got to mow. Or Bullard is going to have a problem with it. It's the same way with words. Most of the time, people are far more interested in what they have to say than in what you have to say. And that is a painful realization. Speak less in general. And then 10:19, when words are many, transgression isn't lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. And then one last bit before the bell rings. Listen to people who are wiser than you and pay attention not only to what they say, but how they speak. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Who do you need to spend more time around if you are going to master the art of living and master the art of speaking? That's all I have.